My name's Jack. If we haven't officially met, I'm the lead pastor here. We're just so thrilled that you joined us this morning. I did want to give you an update on Convoy of Hope. We've been collecting money. We do this annually where we take one day and one day's wage, what you make in a day, and we give it to Convoy. So we work one day for the poor, and we'll be doing that all through the month of December. But to date, we're at $12,000, so good job, you guys. You're doing a great job with that. And then some of you were here to listen to our Africa missionaries last week. And if you weren't, get online and check them out. It's really good. But we raised about $800 for them. And that's going to go a long way in Mozambique. So good job there. Lots of opportunities this time of year. We've been in a series called He Will Be Called. And first week, we talked about a wonderful counselor. And this week, I want to look at Mighty God. And there was a prophecy that Isaiah made 700 years before Jesus' birth that kind of defined who Jesus would be. And Jesus is so big and so complicated that it took many names, and it probably there's a few left out, I would guess. But this is the prophecy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, there's times when we have those moments, those aha moments, where we're just reminded of how big God is, how mighty. For some of you, you know, it might be just watching a Colorado sunset. For me, anytime I'm around the birth of a new baby, I'm just awed. It's like an aha moment of how incredible God is. For some of you, it might be the fact that the Broncos won 2 games in a row with a rookie quarterback. You know, how did that happen? Aha moments. Maybe for you, it's sitting at the ocean and just watching those waves crash in. And they just keep coming, don't they? They never, never end. The wonder of the human body, of life itself, the vastness and beauty of space. Space is just mind-boggling. And God created all that. It wasn't even hard for him. He just, easy for him. He's a mighty God. In Psalms, he's described this way: the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voices go out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. It rises at one end of the heavens, makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. He's a mighty God. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 32, put it this way. He said, awe, starts out with those words, those two letters, awe. Will you say that with me? Awe. Awe, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. This word awe comes from the Hebrew. It means to groan, like a painful groan. And I think there's those moments in life where we actually catch a glimpse of the power of God. And we have to just kind of start with awe, because we're in awe. I'm skipping just a little bit here. I love that we talked about Wonderful Counselor 2 weeks ago, and we can go to God for whatever, for help. We can go to him for advice, for wisdom. But we see today that he also has the power to do what we're asking him to do. Whatever you're facing, you know, this holiday season, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever you're facing, he has the power for it. Maybe your kids are off the rails. Nothing is too hard for God. You know, maybe finances are tight. Nothing is too hard for God. Maybe you're working on your marriage right now. Nothing is too hard for God. He's mighty God. He's all powerful. three characteristics of God I want to look at in the balance of our time. This is kind of what sets him apart from us. You know, we were made in his image, but we're not God. He's God, and we're not. And one of the ways we know that is that he's omniscient, which means he knows everything. Have you really just ever thought about that? He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. All your faults, all your sin, all your failures, all your accomplishments, all your hopes, all your dreams, he knows it all. He knows everything about you. Psalm 69 says, "Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you." Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths." Proverbs 28:13, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." God already knows about our transgressions, but he still wants us to bring them to him and confess them. And when we do that, it says we'll find compassion. He also knows, because he's all-knowing, he knows about your sadness and your pain and your hurt. Psalms 31:7, "I am overcome with joy because of your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul." Psalms 56:8, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in a bottle." I love that. No tear is unseen by God. They're collected in a bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. He sees all of your pain. Psalms 103:13, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." The other thing I love about an all-knowing God is that because he knows about our pain, he's with us in our pain. Psalms 142:3, "For I am overwhelmed, and you alone know the way I should turn." I love that God knows my future. You know, you ever wonder what's out there, what's next? He knows your future. Psalms 139:16, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." He knows stuff that you don't know. And he invites you to call to him and ask. Ask him. Proverbs 16:3, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." I also love that God sees your faithfulness. He sees your good deeds. He sees your work. He sees when you're compassionate. He sees when you serve in the nursery and in children's ministry. He sees it all. He sees when you give to the poor. Maybe no one else sees, but he sees. There was a Seinfeld years ago, and I remember a clip where Costanza, he gave like a tip or a donation to somebody. I don't know if you remember this. And the guy didn't see him do it. So he wanted him to see it, so he tried to take it out, but then they thought he was stealing it. God sees it all. You don't have to worry about that. Ephesians 6:8, "Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." Galatians 6:9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." He's an all-knowing, mighty God. He knows your thoughts. Think about that for a second. He knows your thoughts. He knows you. And he still likes you. I mean, how many people, when they really get to know you, they don't like you anymore? I mean, I've had that happen. It's like the honeymoon's over. I don't really like you anymore. But God does. And he knows your thoughts, and he still likes you, and he still wants a relationship with you, and he still wants to prepare a place for you in heaven for you to spend all eternity, and he still wants to be with you for all eternity, even after knowing everything you're thinking. What you're thinking right now, he knows. He knows it all. He knows your thoughts. David says it this way, Psalms 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Before I even say it, he already knows it. He already knows what you're going to say. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Number two, God is also omnipresent. This is a big deal. It means that he's everywhere. He can be everywhere at the same time. He's not constrained by normal time and space. That means millions of Jesus followers are worshiping him this morning, and he can be with all of them at the same time. That's pretty incredible. We can invite his presence here. His presence can be with all of us at the same time. That's a big deal. That's pretty cool. I mean, what if when you think of your to-do list and your packed schedule, you know, Ryan, I know you probably have a to-do list. What if you could do all of those at the same time? All of your meetings at the same time, the exact same time. It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? That's what he does. He can do this. You're torn about who to spend Christmas with, which family? Do them both. If you're God, you can be in two places at once. He's everywhere. Jeremiah 23, 24, can anyone hide from me? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth? Asks the Lord. He's omnipresent. How does this help you? How does this help me? Well, for one, you know, you don't have to be alone. You don't ever have to be alone because he is with you. Hebrews 13, 5, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. He's even with you when you're tempted, and he provides a way out. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He's with you when you worry. Some of you are worried about stuff. Isaiah 43, 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. God is with us. Psalm 16, 8, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be forsaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is filled with joy and my mouth shouts his praises. My body rests in safety. In Psalms 23, 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When you're discouraged, God is with you. Psalms 34, 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Some of you are there right now. Your spirit's crushed. You've hit a low. You're at the bottom. And he's with you. He's right beside you in all of it. He knows everything. He can be everywhere and present. And number three, he is omnipotent. He has unlimited power. He has unlimited power. There's nothing too big for him. There's no problem too big for him. There's no question that he doesn't know the answer to. You know, even when he asks a question, it's not for him. It's not because he doesn't know the answer. When he asked Adam and Eve, where are you in the garden? He knew where they were. But he was asking them for them. Where are you? Because something relationally has changed between us. So for their benefit, the question, where are you? There's nothing too big for him. There's no question that he doesn't know the answer. There's no ask that's too big for you to ask. You can ask him for anything, and he can do it. And the evidence of God's power and mightiness is everywhere. I mean, I mentioned it earlier, creation is a silent witness to all of it. Jesus was evidence of the power of God, the mightiness of God, when he cast out demons, and when he raised the dead. And when you fed thousands, the power of God, he had the power over nature to calm storms, to raise people from the dead. And here's the good news. If you don't get anything today, God wants to share that power with you. He wants to work his power through you, just like he did with Jesus. Ephesians 1:19, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his what? Power for us who believe in him. And he uses his power through us and in us. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. If you're about your Father's business, he'll give you the power to do it. At work in you, to change you, to do whatever he asks you to do. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So how are your power levels today? What'd you walk in here with? Like your cell phone, 30%? 40% charged? Maybe you're down to 2% and it's flashing and it says, plug in, shutdown in progress. Maybe that's where you are. You know, we can be followers of Jesus and never tap into his power. A lot of times I'll put my phone right next to my charger on my nightstand. Sometimes it's even laying on the cable, but I forget to plug it in. I fall asleep. I forget to plug it in. I mean, it's that close to the power. They're right there. I mean, why doesn't it work? But I didn't plug it in. You can come to church. You can go to small group. You can help the poor. You can live your whole life as a follower of Jesus and never plug into the power. There's so much there for us to experience. Sometimes I need things to get real bad before I remember, you know, to plug in. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Every one of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have access to the power. It doesn't matter what you do in life, you have access to the power. First Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, my message and my preaching are not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith won't rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. That's like a next level faith. You know, your faith isn't about what you've heard or what you've read in a book or what you learned at seminary. It's about the power, a demonstration of the power, God's power working in you and through you. I love that Jesus chose 12 ordinary people to change the world. Some fishermen, some businessmen, a doctor, a tax collector who hung around with a lot of bad people. Very ordinary people. He didn't choose Sadducees and Pharisees and the leaders of the day, did he? Ordinary people. 12 ordinary people. And they did extraordinary things. They healed the sick. They set the captives free. They changed the world. And the first time they went out and did it, they came back to Jesus and said, you're not going to believe what happened. And he said, I believe it. The power. That's what I love about the Vineyard. I mean, let's be honest, we're just a bunch of ordinary people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're very ordinary. I know I'm ordinary. Ordinary people with power. Wimber used to say, beggars just trying to show other beggars where to find bread. The bread of life. Ordinary people with power. Ordinary people who are empowered by an extraordinary God. And look what God did through 12 ordinary people who were willing to plug in and allow God's power to work through them. They changed the world. And if we ever get that as a group of people, look out. Look out, Windsor. Look out, Front Range. Look out, Colorado. Look out, world. God's empowering presence, enabling us to be who he created us to be and to do what he called us to do. So two areas where God's power helps us. And this isn't all-inclusive, but it's a couple I came up with. First of all, the power to get going. The power to get going. Some of you just, you have trouble getting going, right? Getting started. If you're sitting by one of those people, don't look at them right now. But some of us just have a problem getting going, getting started, you know? Someday I'll work on my marriage. Someday I'll love my kids the way I'm supposed to. Someday I'll reconcile with my neighbor. Someday I'll read my Bible all the way through. Someday I'll be generous. Someday I'll start following Jesus. But we need power to get going. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to what? To fulfill his good purpose." That's what the power's for. I think the second way that God uses this power is to keep us going. Some of you are running low. You've been following Jesus a long time. You're a little bit beat up. There's spiritual warfare out there, right? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you hit bottom. Sometimes you're at the end of your rope. And we have to reconnect to his power so that we can go on and keep doing what he's called us to do. Psalm 6:2, "Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak." I'm weak. I don't know about you, but I'm weak. I need God's power. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, increases power. God's power is not automatic. We have to do something. A couple things. First of all, we've got to admit our lack of power. We've got to admit our lack of power. We have to surrender our lives to him. And that takes faith. That takes trust. That takes a step, an action step toward him. And sometimes we don't feel it, right? If you wait till you feel it, it's probably not going to happen. Some of you, you know, maybe it means stepping out in power to pray for somebody. Maybe it's somebody in this room. Maybe it's somebody this week. You're not feeling it, but you step out in faith. Action before feeling. It takes a surrendered life to live a powerful life. When you think of people like Mother Teresa and Jackie Pollinger and Billy Graham, these were people who lived a surrendered life, and they were incredibly powerful people, weren't they? Because the power flowed through them, because they had surrendered it all of self, to a mighty God. He gives grace to the humble, and he opposes the proud. There's no power. I mean, if we're not humbled before God, there's no power. It's like the great power stopper. We have to be humble to experience God's power. He opposes the proud. Where's my band? Come on up, guys. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Mighty God." Let's stand. So you're probably wondering what I want to pray for this morning. I want to pray for power. I want to pray for you to experience God's power. That can look different to all of us. It can be very unique. But what I'd like to ask you to do this morning is, if you're willing, to just open your hands up, just as a gesture, if you want God's power. If you don't, if you're not ready for it, I get it. It's okay. I just want to pray for you. Father, thank you for your empowering presence. Your empowering presence. And we know you can be with us this morning and with everyone else on the planet. We know that you know exactly what we need. You know every thought. You see every deed, good and bad. You see it all. So I just pray for your power right now. Your power for us to do what you've called us to do. Your power to do, to be who you've created us to be fully. Your power to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray that your power will mend broken relationships. That your power will bring physical and emotional and spiritual healing. Like some of you just need to go back to the prayer area this morning and just have someone put a hand on you and just ask for God's power to increase in your life. Maybe you have a little bit. God wants to give you so much more. You're not alone. In Jesus' name.